This is a journey into sound.
I know what you pinko, heavy metal weirdos do.
You are locked into MSR Cast, brought to you by Mainstream Resistance. If you like corporate bullshit, listen to commercial radio. If not, stay tuned. Fuck the mainstream!
Hi everybody out there, this is Michael Kiske speaking, lead singer of Unisonic and Plasma Dome and some other projects, and you are listening to MSR Cast.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of MSRcast. This is one of your co-hosts. This is Carrie, and I have the pleasure to be speaking with Michael Kiske today. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Let's go ahead and get straight into the new album, the Place Vendôme. I'm probably butchering the name, but you have a new album called The Thunder in the Distance. Tell me a little bit about the process of making this album.
It's always the same, actually. Serafino's asking if I'm interested in doing another. We call it Place Vendôme. We don't know how to pronounce it either. It's a place in France that's called like that. I mean, usually he just asks if I'm interested in doing another Place Vendôme, and then he suggests songs. He just sends rough versions, demos done by the songwriters that he has on his hand. If not, Dennis writes something, which wasn't the case this time. And Dennis and I just say yes or no. Usually we say yes because Serafino knows what makes sense in that matter. The only thing that he suggested this time that we didn't want to do was recording tracks from Kelly Clarkson.
Right.
He honestly suggested to do some like one or two songs of her. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, she's great, you know, but there's absolutely no way that I would record something like her hit single or something like that. That was really weird. But usually he suggests pretty nice AOR rock tunes that we just, you know, choose from the ones we like the best. And then Dennis starts to make rough versions of it. He goes through the arrangement. Sometimes he makes things a little shorter. Sometimes he works a little bit on the lyrics because he's American, as you know. And then he makes like a rough version, usually with drum computer and stuff like that. And I start doing vocals on that. And in the meantime, he records the real musicians, and I send him my vocals, and he slides them in and starts mixing. That's usually how it works in the times of internet and digital.
Right. Yeah, I was going to ask you that question. Do you think, you know, this time of everybody's so connected well through the internet, do you find it so much easier to do projects like this?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's amazing. You save so much time. And I like to do vocal recordings on my own anyway. I don't like to be guided when I'm singing a song. It's good to have people around that motivate you, like singing in a band or whatever. That's great. But I like to do things in my own rhythm when I record vocals. So I do them here in my own place anyway. And the internet just makes it so much easier. You can pre-work before you get together. I mean, with Place Vendôme, we don't get together and practice the songs or whatever. It's just a production of an album, really. With Unisonic, we have a time before we meet up in the rehearsal room and really start playing these songs. And that's where the most important stuff actually happens, when you're together with the guys and people throw in ideas. It's like the old school kind of band work. It's really important in Unisonic. But before that, we do this sending ideas around over the internet, and someone, maybe we do this, or maybe do that. You know, it's like we pre-kind of produce the album over the internet before we actually meet up in the rehearsal room, and I think it's a big help.
Do you think? Well, next question I was going to ask. You have a different variety of songwriters that helped write this album. Tell me a little bit about that.
There's really not much I can tell you about it. I think Serafina has a whole bunch of songwriters that are suggesting songs. I mean, there are a lot of songwriters out there that don't have bands. You know, they're just capable of writing songs, and they just love to have them recorded by musicians and bands and stuff like that. So they tend to approach labels nowadays and say that, you see, this is the stuff that I'm doing. You know, this is what I recorded, and and whenever a record company needs a song for a band or whatever, they just contact them. And Serafino has probably a whole bunch of people that are interested in being part of this, you know.
And you mentioned,
you can tell,
right?
Sorry, you can tell by the lyrics sometimes that they know what this is for, you know.
And you mentioned Serafino, and he's from Frontiers Records, and this is basically his baby.
It's his label, yeah. It's his label. And of course, the whole beginning of Place Vendôme, I was not in a band by that time. He approached me as a label boss, saying, "Michael, I like your voice. My favorite music is AOR music. Would you be interested in recording an AOR record?" You know, and I didn't have anything to do in those days, other than my own little stuff here and there. And I thought it was a good idea to do that. And I actually, that's one of the things. I actually, when I when I joined Unisonic, or we formed Unisonic, I actually had the plan to let these projects die out, because I thought, now I'm in a band again, and I would probably have no time anymore. But it's the thing is, I do have the time for it. Since Kai, for instance, is spending month already working with his gamma rays, and you know, we always have this on and off years with Unisonic, where people do other things, and I do have the time for doing it. And I also had, it was always like a strong feedback while I was on tour with Thaumatasia or with Unisonic last year worldwide. It was always people asking for it, asking for, will there be another Plasma Dome record? Same goes for Kiss Kiss Somerville. So I thought, as long as I have the time to do it, it's easy done for me, because I don't have to write it. I don't have to produce it. All I have to do is sing it. You know, mm-hmm. That's a pleasure. For as long as I have the time to do it and the material is interesting, I just keep on doing it. It's just not going to be as often as maybe a Unisonic record. It's probably going to be like every fourth year or something like that, you know.
Now, the press that I've read for this album, it definitely describes it as AOR. Are you comfortable with this term describing the type of music?
I don't exactly know what it means. Does it mean adult-orientated rock? Does it mean album-orientated rock? If it means album-orientated rock, pretty much every metal record is AOR, isn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Agreed.
So I guess it's – I don't know what it means. I always identified bands like Journey, Foreigner, maybe Stryper, Survivor, Magnum, you know, Bob Catley. I always that's to me classical AOR, and vocalists like Jolyn Turner, you know.
Right. So, yeah.
These are like to me classical AOR singers, and to me AOR is a classical mainstream type of rock song in a way. Which is to me what Plasma Dome really is, especially that record. I mean, you don't revolutionize the world with it, you know. And I think that what makes it a bit more different is that I sing it, because I don't sound like the average. I don't mean that disrespectful, but I don't sound like the typical AOR singer, in my opinion. Maybe that's why it's so well received. You know, it sounds a bit different when I do it, I hope.
What are some of your favorite tracks off the new album?
I really like Maybe Tomorrow. I mean, I like Talk to Me, but it's like Maybe Tomorrow is one that really sticks out to me. I think it has a great chorus.
Okay, cool. I'm going to actually get into a set of music right here, and we're going to play both those songs from new Place Vendome album, and we'll be right back. We'll be right back. All right, greetings, everyone. We are back with MSR Cast with Michael Kiske. Am I saying your name correctly?
There's no English way of saying it.
Right. I was about to say,
in German, we say Kiske.
Kiske. And I was going to say, yeah, my Texas accent probably doesn't help too much.
Oh, you sound good. I mean, I heard like a lot worse American slangs that I couldn't understand, or like British slangs. I mean, it's like Andy Taylor from Sanctuary Music, I sometimes had problems understanding what he was saying. Oh, like Steve Harris, when Steve Harris talks, we had that Willie Matt Weber. Hard to understand sometimes. You sound great. No great problems there.
Appreciate that. So what is your status of performing live? And will we ever, can we expect a Michael Kiske show where you can play songs from your entire career?
Maybe. There's one thing actually happening, which is quite unique, next month, because I will be having about 9 shows played with a band and an orchestra over here in Europe, like a full orchestra.
Oh.
I thought it was a cool idea. And for the first time, and maybe for the last time, I will play Longing, which was one classical song that I did on the last Halloween record. It was actually recorded in a studio with people from the NDR Symphony Orchestra over here. So that'll be interesting. So it wasn't a Halloween record, but in those days we were not really a band anymore. So mm-hmm. I always see this song also like a very personal song of mine. You know, it really is. So that's actually a really exciting thing to look forward to for me to do that song live.
Well, do you think any of these shows can be documented and released as a live album or anything?
I haven't got a clue, but I'm pretty sure that they're going to plan something like that. Because, I mean, if you it costs money to put that many people on a stage, you know, mm-hmm. classic people. I'm pretty sure that they will record something. Maybe on some of the last shows or whatever. I don't know.
So let's spend a little time and get into some of your the other band that you've had your hand in. Let's get it first. Like, it's in Avantasia. I'm a huge Avantasia nerd. You are one of the only constant members, really, has been on every album since Tobias. Tell me about that first experience working with the band.
He said the only reason why I said yes on the first one is, I mean, I was in those days. I was still very angry. I was still in a state of disappointment. It's like the whole Halloween kind of thing that went down. Lots of disappointments about the music scene and stuff like that. I was dealing with other things. Let me put it that way. Mm-hmm. During that time, I didn't care much. So when he contacted me and I heard the stuff sound a lot like old Halloween, you know. I didn't want to do it at first, but I liked him. I just liked his personality and his spirit, and so I said, okay, I'd do it. And I'm happy now that I did, because it turned out the Avantasia became something very beautiful. It's like being on tour with them is just a blast. It's great fun. It's like almost like paid holidays. So I'm happy that I did it, but I really only did it in those days because of him. I like the material now a lot. I mean, nowadays, singing that stuff, I'm really excited about the quality of the music and everything. But in those days, it was kind of fading it out. I didn't really have an ear for it, you know. It's really his personality why I said yes.
Do you have a favorite Avantasia track, or maybe, and then also maybe, do you have one that it's a favorite that you didn't sing on?
I have one that I actually sang, but it never ended up on the record. It was just a download version. Like, now I don't have the title. I have the possible dome title in my head. Another da 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 da. How could I know? Lost in Space.
Oh, Lost in Space. Oh,
Lost in Space. Yes, sir. I mean, I love many tracks, but that's one that I really like. And I actually did vocals for that one.
Oh.
It just ended up on iTunes or something like that. It never ended up on the album. And I sang it twice, by the way. I had it imported. I imported it wrong in my software to do the vocals, so it ran faster.
Oh.
And it was higher. So I have a version with a higher pitch that I think I sung it even better than the lower pitch version in the end. I still have it on my computer.
I'm going on a search to find your version of that song now.
you will find my version. That I'm sure you will find it somewhere. I'm pretty sure it's still available somewhere on iTunes or whatever. But the other version that I have is just on my computer. Maybe I should save it somewhere before it dies.
Right.
Because it's a pre-production version, and the song is faster and higher.
Oh.
And I sang the vocals, and I sent the vocals to Sasha, and he said, "Yeah, great vocals, but it's just the wrong key, the wrong pitch. It was not on 44; it was on 48 or whatever kilohertz or whatever." That was funny. Like, later on, you're surprised. I mean, it's like when we play with Avantasia, we always play on a very high level. A huge portion of the festivals we play here in Europe, we just headline, you know. Which is amazing, or we play in a great spot, like in the evening or whatever. When we play individual gigs, it's always a couple of, it's like maybe 3,000 or 4,000. I mean, that's just almost standard for Avantasia, which is great. Has a great response. They have great audiences, beautiful people. So I mean, obviously, this whole thing and Toby in general does a lot of things right, you know, and it has a great spirit. That's what I love about it. It really does have a great spirit. It's great people.
And another artist that you've worked with before is Timo Tolkki. Revolution Renaissance has some great performances from you, especially the song "I Did It My Way."
Yeah, I really remember that too. I was kind of surprised myself. It sounded really cool in the end. It's good stuff there. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's really the epitome of what this type of music is supposed to be. It's catchy, but it's still sort of, it rocks.
Good energy. Yeah, good energy. I mean, Timo has a very simple way of writing songs sometimes, but that sometimes that nails it, you know.
Yeah, definitely with this type of music, simple is sometimes better.
Absolutely.
Totally. Let's get into a couple tracks. We're going to get into "I Did It My Way," and then we're going to get into something from Timo Tolkki's Avalon project. You did the title track. What can you tell me about that experience?
There's not much to say. I just sang the song. Really, it's like, you know, this is, I didn't even know what it was supposed to be. It's like when he asked me if I would do this for him a year before that, I still thought it would be just some kind of a soul record that he does. You know, I didn't even think that it would be this type of almost Avantasia like thing. You know. It's just like he just sent me the song and the lyric, and I wanted to change something a bit. I wanted to sing, as far as I remember, the first part of it lower and then go high, because I thought it would be interesting more. But he wanted me to do it exactly the same way. And I thought when I was singing it, some of the parts there sound a lot like the song "Keeper" of the Seven Keys. Don't you think?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I didn't notice that when I had the demo, but when I heard when I recorded the real version, I was like, "Wow, you know what you're trying to do there."
It definitely has that same epic feel to it.
Same entrance, like the same sort of guitar entrance, even into the chorus, like we had on the song "Keeper."
So that leads me to, why do you think there are so many rock metal operas in this genre right now?
Well, I think the not so pleasant answer is that it is quite successful. A lot of people like to jump on things that sell. When Halloween started to sell millions with the Keeper records, suddenly you had all those bands coming up sounding like that, you know. It's not always just that. I mean, some people are just excited, of course. And I don't want to say that they all just do it because it sells. I mean, a lot of them do it because they love it, you know. But it has to do with what the market looks like. I would say like maybe 70% of bands that come up do something that they do just because it has a market, you know?
Right. Okay, so let's get into these couple tracks and we'll be right back.
Things that rhyme and I will do when I'm looking back the road and leave.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to MSR Cast. We have Michael Kiske, and I wanted to talk to you about the Kiske Somerville album. How did that come about?
That was again Serafino. He thought the idea of a record with a full as a full duet with a girl would be a good idea. And I must tell you that I'm again really happy that this happened. The thing is, at first there was someone else that they wanted me to record it with, and I don't really remember who it was. It's also a famous, pretty well-known female singer in that genre, or in that metal kind of genre. But she has her own band, and the band didn't like it. They got jealous, so she went off. She jumped off, and then Amanda got into the game, and I really like Amanda. She's a great person. And we even talk pretty often on the phone. Like same with me and Toby, we're quite often on the phone, just privately. You know, she's just a great person. She's not only a great singer and beautiful and everything. She's a really nice person. She has a good character. She's a good heart. You know, and that's why I'm really happy that we're actually doing another one. That we're working on another Kiske Somerville as well.
Nowadays
I'm just doing it because I like her. I like her so much. You know.
Yeah, that led me right into my next question is, are we going to look, or can we look forward to more music from you guys?
Yeah, that's what they're actually preparing. I actually received 4 songs from Matt for it, but I'm so busy doing other things, I didn't even listen to it yet. It's probably, I have to write him an email. So I know I'm very sensitive when it comes to these kind of things too. I've sent a song, a new song to Dennis on Sunday, and he hasn't replied yet. So it's like, You start thinking, doesn't he like the song or whatever, you know? So I should actually write Matt an email to tell him that I haven't even heard it yet, but it's not because of a lack of interest. It's just I'm just having so many other things in my head.
So let's get into one of your main bands right now. It's Unisonic and reuniting with Kai Hansen. How did this reunion come about?
Well, that was again Toby somehow. I mean, Avantasia was really the first time, like being on a real tour. I mean, I did like 2 bigger concerts before that. I think the same year with Unisonic, it was Sweden Rock, 30,000 people. It was my first freaking live concert again. But a real tour was really with Avantasia, and it could not have been any better because it's a very easy going bunch of people, you know, very grown up, very intelligent, great musicians. But not only the band, also the people around it, you know, the tour manager and the people that everybody loves to be on tour with Avantasia because it's so much fun. Everybody gets treated with respect, and really Avantasia is someone that everybody likes to work for because it is so professional. And there's nobody that treats anyone like shit, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it should be. So it was a perfect start for me to smell the stage again, you know. And I was really impressed by the reactions of the crowd. I mean, some of the reactions were just – I always say that in interviews, but I'm not just saying that. It was really true. I mean, it's that when you – after so many years – not being on a stage, and suddenly you play like in South America or some other countries, and then the whole audience starts singing your name, you know, that's special. I mean, that was really good. It was a perfect kind of coming back to this live playing circus somehow. It was really good, and Kai was there too. He played some guitars and he did some singing on the Avantasia. So I was on stage with him. I always had a good relationship with Kai. And some people are surprised when they hear that. He left the band in those days for certain reasons, but it was never that Kai and I had big problems or anything like that. I always liked him. I was pissed that he left the band, of course. I thought he should never have done that. I still think it was one of his maybe the biggest mistake of his life to do that, because that kind of started the ending of that Halloween, mm-hmm. in my opinion. But I always was fine with him. So it was, I mean, we met up even when I was no longer with Halloween. Sometimes we met up and we always, you know, hugged and talked, and it was always a good chemistry. We just never worked together. That just never came up. I sang a bit on his Gamma Ray. He played together with Adrian Smith on my first solo record. You know, we had our contact, but we we never really wanted to do something more serious together, and it just never came up. But standing on stage on the Avantasia show, it was just a nice chemistry, the old kind of chemistry somehow that I had almost forgotten. And we started talking backstage. You know, we should do something again. You know, we didn't know exactly how, but it was quite quickly clear that it makes a lot more sense if he joins Unisonic, you know, and becomes the other guitar player. And that's how it came down, and it all worked out pretty well so far.
Thank you.
I know Kai's pretty busy with his main gig, but are you guys working on a new album yet?
Yes. I mean, he's not part of it at the moment. At the moment, he's still finishing the Gamma Ray record. But the others are like writing. Like I told you, I've sent another song on Sunday to Dennis, you know, a bit Van Halen-like. I don't know what they're going to do with it in the end. But yeah, we're working on material to get another record done.
So this will actually be your chance to program the show. If you could pick out a few bands that influenced your style and maybe something new that you find yourself listening to.
I have a very, very open mind when it comes to music. I mean, a lot of people are shocked by what I'm listening to.
No, we do too, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I love so many different types of music. I grew up with Elvis, and I still love this man to pieces. I listen a lot to Elvis, and I sing a lot of Elvis tunes, especially the stuff he recorded in 69 and 1970. He recorded some of my favorite tunes there. I love the way his voice sounds. Then, it's like even when I was totally into metal, I was listening to lots of other stuff. But you probably want to have like a rock band, I guess.
This is up to you, truthfully.
All right. Okay. Well, you know, then play Elvis. Just can't help believing. That's something. I mean, I even listen to like Cara Dillon, who's an Irish singer who makes like very Irish folk oriented kind of pop music, produced in a very modern way, but very deep, beautiful singer. One of the most beautiful voices you will ever hear on the planet. If you like also other types of music, you should check out. Let me just give you one song here, of that woman. It's Cara Dillon with C, Garden Valley. Can you remember that?
Yes, I'm writing it down.
Play that one. Play that song. It's beautiful. That woman is like such a beautiful soul. I mean, she has a voice that just melts your heart.
And
if you can play stuff like that, play her, Garden Valley.
And let's pick out something. I guess with some heavy guitar rock.
Yeah, well, that's easy. Like play "Screaming for Vengeance" by Judas Priest.
Oh yeah,
I mean it doesn't get any better.
Cool. We're gonna actually get into these songs that we've never actually played on our show, and the style of songs, and we'll be right back.
I just can't help believing when she smiles up soft and gentle with a trace of misty morning and a promise of tomorrow in her eyes. I just can't help believing when she's lying close beside me and my heart beats with the rhythm of her sighs. This time the girl is gonna stay. This time the girl is gonna stay. I just can't help believing when she slips her hand in my hand and it feels so small and helpless and my fingers fold around it like a glove. I just can't help believing when she's whispering her magic and her tears are shining honey sweet with love. This time the girl is gonna stay.
This time the girl is gonna stay.
This time the girl is gonna stay. More than just a day.
Yeah. sing the song, baby.
So I just can't help
believing. One more time.
So I just can't help believing.
Yeah, one more.
So I just can't help believing.
For more than just a day, well, I just can't help believing when she slips her hand in my head, and it feels so small and helpless, and my fingers fold around it like a glove. I just can't help believing she smiles and whispers magic, and her tears are shining on me sweet with love. This time the girl is gonna stay.
This time the girl is gonna stay.
This time the girl is gonna stay. Today,
oh, I just can't help believing.
Take it.
Oh, I just can't help believing.
Yo.
Oh, I just can't help believing. Oh, I just can't help believing.
Screaming for vengeance. The world is defined.
Okay, welcome back to MSRcast, everyone. We are here with Michael Kiske, and let's talk a little bit about the last, basically, I guess, solo album you did. You did Past in Different Ways, had a little bit different reinterpretations of some of the classic Halloween tracks on there.
Yeah, basically just my songs. I mean, songs that I had written. It was a suggestion by Serafino when it came up, and at first I turned it down. You know, I said, no, I don't want to do this. You know, it's like always living in the past and blah, blah, blah. But after a while, I thought, why not? You know, I mean, just because of these bad experiences, I don't have to reject the songs that I had written or any songs at that time, you know. And I'm happy that I did. It was in those years, there was a healing process going on. I actually even met Wycath a couple of weeks ago. We shook hands and we had a nice conversation. I mean, we're not best friends, but... Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot more peace now after that. No, it was really important for me emotionally to do that, much more than some people think. It was a suggestion by Serafino. I said no at first, and a couple of days later, I said yes.
Let's talk a little bit about Halloween. Would you agree with the statement that Halloween wasn't really a genre-defining band?
It was what?
A genre-defining band.
Some people say, I mean, it's like when I was in the band, it all happened very naturally. We were not trying to create anything special. We're just doing what we thought was cool. I just remember that I was just 18 when we started working on the first tracks in the rehearsal room. It was a smelly bunker over here in Hamburg. And just right away when they knew that I was the new singer, they started to write songs for my voice. And I remember that Kai was very quick with songs like I think Future World, March of Time, Save Us. I think Save Us came later. He had that very last minute in the studio, but they both had like key tracks of the Keeper records quite quickly, and I just loved it. I just thought it's the best music in the world. And when we recorded it, I will never forget when we did the first record. And I mentioned this because I think that's just one of the things that makes a difference in terms of spirit. You know, it's like if you're really convinced about what you're doing, that's the best thing to convince others. It's something you cannot fake. It's not something you can just force yourself to do. It either is there or not. Mm-hmm. And I just know when we finished the first record and I played Keeper One to a friend of mine, I was so convinced about this. I wasn't even surprised when it sold more than a million right away. You know, I was not even surprised. It's not arrogance here. I was just so convinced about it. I just loved it so much, and I thought it's just the greatest music on earth. And I just remember that there was a friend of mine sitting next to me, and I said something like, I don't exactly know the words anymore, but it went in the direction like, as soon as we sell records there, we go on tour there, and then we're going to play here and there and do this, and it's going to be so cool, it's going to be so much fun. He said, oh, Michael, I wish you all the best, but you know, it's so difficult on the market. And I was just looking at him, don't you hear that? Don't you hear it? It was like, I'm just saying that because I was so convinced about it, and we all were. And it just naturally happened. And then we did the second one and everything, and before it really got to what it could have been, it was already over again, you know?
Do you think the band now is the same as it was when you guys were in the band?
It's different people. I mean, it can't be the same. I mean, it's just a different band. There's nothing wrong with it, you know, but it's just a different band. How can it be? I mean, it's not a name that goes on tour. It's certain people, you know, that make a band. And it's just a bass player and a guitar player, really, from the original lineup.
Right. There's got to be, I'm looking at him, it might be some kind of, you know, friendship going on because, you know, Gamma Ray and Halloween have toured together, and there's got to be something there, you know, some kind of.
You mean, between, I don't know. I mean, this is something you got to ask Kai, you know?
Right.
Like, I mean, there's no bigger friendship going on between me and them. I mean, most of the people I don't know that are now in Halloween. Like I said, I had a little chat with Waikiki. He was extremely friendly and nice, and that was good. There was no anger in me. I felt fine, and that was good that it happened, you know? But it's, I don't see any huge friendship going on.
Do you have any favorite tracks from your time in the band?
In Halloween?
Yes, sir.
Oh, absolutely. I love Eagle Fly Free. I still think it's the best song that Wycott has ever written. And I loved singing it. And I just remember when we started on the Keep It 2 tour, over here we toured with Iron Maiden. And we've always started with that song. And after that, I mean, you just got the audience. There was just no way of losing. There was no way of, you know, not winning them over with mm-hmm. that song. It was just so powerful. And we had more than that one, but it's always one of my personal favorites. I love many tracks of that time. But Eagle Fly Free definitely sticks out.
I got to tell you a little personal story real quick about how I first got into the band. Is when I was a kid, my mom took me to the mall, to the record store. And there was a giant stand-up for, I think it was part two for the Seven Keys, and they had the giant stand-up of the
pumpkin
character, and I was like, look, that's it for me. I just bought it on spot.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of those things, another like brilliant things that just happened. I mean, I don't know if you know about how this pumpkin thing came to life. I mean, it was actually a fan, I think a French guy who draw all this stuff, and he did send these suggestions to us, and he became the guy who made the shirts or whatever. You know, I think he probably still works for the band. But it's also something that just happened, you know. It was we never sat down and created this image or whatever. It's just something that naturally fell into place. And this is one of the things that I'm totally convinced about, that anything that really affects people, it doesn't matter what it is in terms of music or art or whatever, everything that is naturally falling into place and something that comes instinctively out of the individuals has a lot more power and a lot more – it just makes its way a lot clearer and stronger than anything you can develop on a in an abstract way or design, you know, like an image or whatever. And that's what, to me, those early Halloween years were. Just young people excited about certain bands, making their own kind of soup out of it and enjoying what they're doing and being completely convinced about it, you know. That just created an energy that you can't beat it, you know.
Exactly, man. So what is next for Michael Kiske?
Oh, well, we're writing songs for Unisonic at the moment. Then I'm going to have a little tour in December with a band and a big orchestra, which is a very nice thing. I'll be playing, actually, believe it or not, Longing, which is in the difficult phase of Halloween, like the last record that I was part of. I wrote that song, Longing, and we recorded it with an orchestra. And we're going to play that live. I will also play probably March of Time with a big orchestra in the back, a song that Kai Hetman, and maybe I want out. And there's Joey Belladonna from Anthrax will be there. Udo Dirkschneider from Accept will be there. A singer from Nightwish. I don't know, X or actual singer. I'm not so informed about this. And another guy from America. The Testament, can it be?
Oh, yes, Chuck Billy.
Yeah, they're all going to play some of their most known tunes together with this big, and I heard, very good orchestra.
Sounds very interesting.
Thing. Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you for your time. Any final comments you'd like to make to the fans?
Well, let's keep the flame alive, support musicians, and don't just steal the music so that we have a music culture going on for a bit longer.
Well, thank you for your time, man. I want to let you go so you have a few minutes before your next interview.
Yeah. I need it, really. I'm just fucks me up. I can sing for 2 hours, but if I talk for 1 hour, I'm totally fucked up. It's probably going to have no voice anymore in the evening because it goes until 6 o'clock or something like that.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, cool. Yes. Thank you for your time, man, and I really appreciate it.
Thanks for your support, man.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Is what I expect from my life. It's like Check the truth, is it everything? person has been and will be. There is a long way to go. There is a high place to go. There is a world to go through. But there's so much more to do.
Listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit MSRcast.com.
Metal or die! Let's enter metal all the time! Yeah!